You can't ask them for options after they've just given up their guarantees, Garner argued. He was increasingly convinced that Schneider was trying to kill the movie. I don't care, Schneider said. Either we get the options or we shut it down. He and Garner got into a shouting match before Schneider finally walked out. Garner had never trusted Schneider, especially after he savaged David Vogel at a staff meeting. Schneider said he didn't recall such an incident and maintained that cost overruns, not options, were the reasons for shutting down production. Garner met with business affairs people and tried to negotiate the options. It was impossible. Actors Affleck, Josh Hartnett, Cuba Gooding Jr. all had deals for other projects they couldn't just cancel. Finally, Garner went to Eisner. This is impossible, he argued. I can't work for Peter. He's a horrible person. I can't stay if this continues. Go back to your office, Eisner replied, because Peter isn't leaving. Still, Eisner gave up the options demand, and production continued. Garner managed to spend as much time as possible on location in Hawaii, away from Schneider and the studio. The Insider may have flopped in its early November 1999 release, but just 2 weeks later, Toy Story 2 opened to lavish praise and grossed more than $80 million over the Thanksgiving weekend, a record for the period. The first question about Toy Story 2 is whether it's as wonderful as the original, Joe Morgenstern wrote in the Wall Street Journal. The answer is absolutely, improbably, yes. Pixar, which releases its films through Disney, has done it again. The sequel's enormous success vindicated Roth's decision to rescue the film from direct-to-video and have John Lasseter rework it as a theatrical release. Now Lasseter was eager to embark on what would be the crowning achievement of a trilogy, Toy Story 3. Lasseter had the story already blocked out. The creative team for Toy Story 2 was ready to go. Eisner had reluctantly agreed that Toy Story 2, even though it was a sequel, would count as one of the pictures in the new Disney-Pixar deal. But now he dug in. Eisner stubbornly insisted that a third Toy Story would not count, and would not displace the already agreed-upon Cars as the last of the Pixar films under the current agreement. I want Cars, Eisner insisted at meeting after meeting called to discuss the issue. Disney's consumer products division was clamoring for another Toy Story. Schneider and Schumacher urged Eisner to reconsider, if for no other reason than to keep Lasseter happy. Steve Jobs himself weighed in. But Eisner was at his most implacable. What was the point of a deal if you just changed it every time something was successful? He invited Lasseter to visit at Aspen and afterward assured Schneider and Schumacher that he'd defused the situation. But nothing had really been resolved. Joe Roth wasn't the only division head with whom Eisner had become disillusioned. Apart from the ongoing woes of Euro Disney, the theme parks had been Disney's most consistently profitable division under Judson Green. But it was obvious that Eisner accorded the division little respect, attributing the positive results far more to the creative efforts of the Imagineers than to the park's executives. At one point, he referred to the executives working under Green as monkeys. What do you mean by that? Green asked. They don't have any brains. They're not that smart. It's a simple business. Eisner denied.